The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome to Happy Hour. So I wanted to talk a little bit, maybe building on some of what I talked about yesterday, this idea of doing some loving kindness, some compassion for ourselves. Sometimes we find it easier to do it for everybody else, and or we feel like we have to fix our relationships, therefore we're going to do loving kindness for somebody else. This idea is going to make a difference in our relationships. Maybe it can, but certainly it's also easy to feel like or to overlook or dismiss the importance of doing loving kindness for ourselves. So I want to talk a little bit about this idea of an inner critic. This way, it's like this, sub-personality. That's probably not the best way to say it. But this something inside of us that's putting us down, blaming ourselves, kind of like belittling ourselves or nagging at us or something like this. And often there's this sense of shame, and maybe we're not even quite clear what this shame is about, the shame for who we are, how we are, what we are. But one thing that is clear is there's this attitude or this climate of harshness. It is not one of warmth and kindness and care. This inner critic has this harshness quality. This kind of this way it shows up is maybe it comes from I don't know what to say here actually, but it's not. It's the opposite of warmth and kindness. Because when it's this inner critic is really loud and is pervasive and we're believing it, then there's this feeling of inadequacy, this feeling of I'm not enough, who I am is not enough, or how I am is not enough, or I'm not worthy, or the way I'm showing up is not enough, or something like this. Wow, wait, there's so much pain that can be when we get caught up in this. And for some people, this is like so prevalent and such an ongoing part of their inner world that it's just hard to imagine that it can be otherwise. And they just think, well, of course it's there. That's just how the world is. Or some people feel like, oh, it's just me. Everybody else, they don't have this sense of this inner critic or this inner belittling or criticizing ourselves or something like this. But I will tell you, this was some of the had big impact on me when I started training to be a Dharma teacher. And part of the training is that you sit in on Dharma discussions that people are having. And wow. That just had such impact on me to see person after person after person coming in to have a Dharma talk with a teacher, whether it's on retreat or in another setting. And so much of what they were saying underneath it was this constant sense of shame or sense of inadequacy or this inner critic or something like this. It was quite something to see this. So there's so much pain that can be caught up in this, and so many of us have this. And maybe in another talk I'll say, of course we have this. I'll just say this briefly. This is the way that we learn it from family, from school, from society. It's this cultural phenomenon that's happening. So we don't have to blame ourselves for having this. We don't have to blame ourselves for having this. But today I want to just talk a little bit about the experience of what happens with this inner critic is that there's this sense of should. This, I should be this way I should not be that way. I really should meditate more. I should do more loving kindness. I should be able to get concentrated. I should be more loving. I should practice more in daily life. And the list goes on and on and on. The sense of I should. But yeah, this sense of I should, it kind of has this dampening effect, or the way that it like blocks or inhibits or cramps or shuts down or squeezes some of the beauty out of our practice, some of the joy out of our practice, some of what we often find inspiring or uplifting and supportive. So this inner critic creates a sense of I should be or do something, and the sense of I should kind of like squeezes is one way that I'm putting it, but kind of like squeezes the joy or the lightness or the beauty out of practice. So what's one way we can work with this? Does anybody want to guess? A little bit of a rhetorical question, but here we are with happy hour. So can we patiently sow the seeds of kindness and well-wishing towards ourselves? This does have an impact. It does make a difference. I'm not going to say it's the absolute only thing we can do. It's just what I'm going to talk about right now. But this loving kindness practice for ourselves in some ways can be really, really important, can be transformative to so that we don't get squeezed with this sense of should and don't feel, I don't know, dry or brittle or something other than some juiciness in our lives, some joy in our lives. And so with loving kindness is I'm going to do it in the way that we do loving kindness for other people. Those of you who have been coming here regularly will recognize that. And then also we'll do a little bit of self-compassion, introducing this phrase, may these difficulties be held with kindness and ease. And I mentioned this briefly at the very end, on Tuesday. Notice that there aren't any personal pronouns in this. May these difficulties be held with kindness and ease. This can be a subtle point, but we shouldn't underestimate. Instead of saying, may I hold these with kindness and ease, then it's kind of, it's secretly in that is, I should hold these with kindness and ease or something like that. So instead, may these difficulties, acknowledging they're there, or not denying them, be held with kindness and ease. Okay, so with that as a, there's a lot more I could say on this idea of inner critic, and maybe I'll do a little series of some Dharma talks on this because it can be really helpful and such a phenomenon, I think, that's happening now. I don't know if it's particularly now after the pandemic or what it is, but it's a lot of anxiety and depression around these days. And part of it is with this inner critic. Okay, so let's do a little practice. And is there a way that we can do this without a sense of should, with a sense of like, okay, my mind is completely distracted. If that's what's happening, that's just how it is. And without a sense that it should be otherwise, can we just be with how it is? So just bring in our awareness to the felt experience at this moment. What is it like to be this way at this time? Without a sense that it has to be any particular way. Just feeling into the physical experience. The pressure against the body where we're sitting or lying down. Maybe the hands are touching either each hand is touching the other, or maybe they're touching something else. Just feeling that. Opening to any sounds, just allowing them to be there. Tuning in to the sensations of breathing. Feeling the stretching that happens with the breath. The movements of the body that happens with the breath. And when the mind wanders, just very simply, gently begin again. Without a sense that things should be a particular way, we're just noticing how they are. And with an intention of resting the mind on the sensations of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice. We're going to begin where it's simple, easy, uncomplicated, straightforward. Is there a being in which your heart just always smiles in some kind of way? There's a little bit of delight or a lot of delight when you bring this being to mind. Whether this is somebody you know, you have a relationship with, a furry family member, maybe it's imaginary kittens, puppies, babies, or maybe it's somebody that in your life has really supported you and touched you maybe with their teachings or their writing. So you don't have a relationship with them so much as you just have so much appreciation for them. Whomever it might be, bringing this lovable being to mind. Connecting with them in a way that has a quality of warmth and openness. If that's available for you, it's not always available to us. Without any sense of should creeping in, but just allowing a connection with this lovable being. And then to support our intention for cultivating loving kindness, we can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. We're just connecting in a warm-hearted way with a lovable being. Nothing should be happening. Sometimes it doesn't arise. That's perfectly fine. Is there a way that we can aspire to, intend to, allow this connecting to this lovable being with goodwill, with love and kindness? And if there isn't a warm-hearted connection that's happening, can we be okay with that? And trust that this practice unfolds not always in the moment, but later. Trust that it's valuable to do this practice. Helpful, beneficial. And if you find yourself getting a little tangled up, maybe there's another lovable being, one that's a little bit less complicated, maybe imaginary. It's worthwhile to allow ourselves to soak in or experience some simple goodwill. And then to extend our loving kindness, our goodwill to ourselves. They're tuning in to the felt experience of this moment, or bringing an image of ourselves to mind. An image that makes us feel happy, have a little bit of delight. Some people have a photo from a meaningful day in their life or a photo from their childhood that they like to connect with. Whatever feels easy and straightforward for you at this time. And extending goodwill to ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can we extend some warm-heartedness to ourselves, some well-wishing? Not because we should do it, but because it's a way to care for ourselves. And then to bring a little bit of compassion practice. In this tradition, compassion is when loving kindness meets difficulties. And it just naturally gets transformed into compassion, which is this warm-hearted wish for the difficulties to end. So it's born out of care, it's born out of love, it's born out of kindness. But in addition to this kindness, is this wish for the difficulties to end. So to practice with this, bring into mind a difficulty that you have on a scale of 1 to 10. We'll begin practicing with the difficulties that's on a scale of 2 or 3, really low on the scale. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. And if this difficulty has faded or is no longer relevant or can't quite connect with it, you can go back to loving kindness practice. Or maybe there's another low, not intense difficulty. You always want to begin where it's easy. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. And if you notice there's some shoulds creeping in, I should be able to handle this. I should be able to feel this. I should X, I should Y. This can go on and on, right? Maybe you can recognize the contraction, the squeezing, the blocking that arises with this idea of should. And let's call that a difficulty. May that difficulty be held with kindness and ease. So this idea of the inner critic helps us feel like we should do things, and that loving kindness practice and some self-compassion practice is a way to kind of take some of the pressure out of that. How was that for you, that idea? If you'd like to put something in the chat box just for me to, I don't know, connect and to hear from you guys, how was that idea, and how was that meditation, this idea of looking at the inner critic and doing some loving kindness and some self-compassion? I know I haven't often asked to put things in the chat box. I think Nikki does. But so you had so Neil said it was soothing, feels welcoming. This chat thing is, I find it squirrely. I don't know if it's squirrely for everybody else. As any worry arose, I shifted to having compassion for that, even if a small thing. Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. Great compassion practice. May these difficulties be held with kindness. Thank you. Yeah. And some thumbs up. And self-compassion as a response to inner critic. I like this. Yeah. Yeah. It's quite something. Oh, yeah. I think I'll talk a little bit more about this in some of these other happy hours. But maybe, you know, just one little bite size at a time, or one little teaching at a time. So also nice to acknowledge that I have one and so do others. Yes, right? This can be really helpful. Sometimes we think like, oh, I'm the only one who has this. Everybody else has got it together, and you'd be surprised. Or maybe I should say I was surprised. I think we all have this. So now I'd like to give you an opportunity to talk to each other about some of these ideas, or, you know, this inner critic and some self-compassion practice as a way to work with it. So I'm going to put you into groups of three or four, and have like about 12 or 13 minutes to talk about this idea of self-compassion and shooting and inner critic, these types of things. And it can be really helpful if you just say one thing and then let it go to the next person, and then they just say one thing and let it go to the next person. It's really can be supportive to kind of level the playing field between the introverts and the extroverts, and also just to give everybody enough time. There isn't a lot of time. There's just going to be like 13 minutes, and there'll be three or four of you. So just to say one thing, let it go to the next person. They say one thing, it was the next person. And then it comes back around to you. And maybe you've been influenced by what you heard. Maybe you have something new to say, or that you wouldn't have said if you had just gone at the beginning with a long monologue. So it's an opportunity for you to be influenced by others, these beautiful people we all practicing together. If it's helpful, you can go in the order of the last digit of your phone number. So keeping that in mind. Okay, here we go. Okay, so welcome back. Welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to add or say after that talk with others? And Hugh, I think you were probably speaking earlier, but you were muted and I didn't hear you. So I just want to give you a heads up. I didn't hear anything from you, but maybe you were speaking. I think that happens like when we move in and out of breakout rooms. Somebody saying, we had fun tonight. Group brought joy and laughter. Fantastic. I'm happy to hear that. It doesn't always have to be that way, of course, right? But it is nice, right? When
Yeah, I'll say something.
Yes, Esther.
Well, I spoke a little bit about a challenge I have coming up. I'm going to have surgery, and that's like at the top of my difficulty scale. And, you know, my group mates, they were talking about gratitude, and it just helped me so much to shift my focus from the fear that I have about going through the surgery and my recovery. So it was really helpful to like think about gratitude, you know, that I am going to have this surgery, which I hope will, you know, like cure this problem that I have on the other side, you know, the surgery. So it helped me relax. I noticed that when I thought about gratitude, I was more accepting and relaxed.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I'm happy to hear that, Esther. I'm sorry you have to go through this. Yeah. And I'm happy that you were here and part of the group and able to support you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Jesse.
Yeah, I really appreciated this practice today. The inner critic's definitely prominent for me, and I felt the compassion practice that you guided us through today felt really skillful, and it's like kind of swift. I don't know. It's just that one little quick little phrase. And I just wanted to share, I had an interaction with the inner critic during the meditation where when you said, you know, to pick something on a scale of 2 to 3 out of 10, my inner critic was like, well, that's pointless. Like, what's the point of that? You know, meaning what my inner critic was saying was like, I don't want my small problems to go away. I want my big problems to go away. But you know, I was able to recognize that as an inner critic thought. And yeah. And then, but that process was happening while I was trying to select, like, okay, what am I going to select the difficulty and from relationships and this and that. And I decided I had some like relatively minor body pain, like thoracic spine or something. I was like, oh, that's a good one. Cause like, it's like, it's something I wanted to go away, but it's not really that big of a deal. So I was able to practice with that, and that felt really good. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Jesse. Yeah, of course we want to start with things that are 8s, 9s, and 10s. Of course we do. But sometimes what happens is we start working with the 8, 9s, and 10 difficulties, and then we get a little bit overwhelmed or distracted or discouraged or something like, this doesn't work. But it's so helpful to start where it's easy, or easier, I should say. And that's fantastic that you noticed that the inner critic was kind of like, no, I should do the most difficult. That's great, Jesse. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're a little bit after the hour here, but it's nice to see you all, and wishing you all the best. And if you like, you can unmute and we'll have this cacophonous goodbye. So bye-bye. Thank
goodbye.
You.
Thank
bye.
You, Diana.
Thanks, Diana. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Diana. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you, Terrence. Bye, Neil in Ohio.
Bye, Diana.
Bye,
Diana.
Bye, Neil in Ohio.
Bye, Jerry.
Bye, Jesse.
Bye, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Bye-bye.